Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for the power of the blood of Christ, of which we bring the blood of Christ to bind any and all working of the enemy in this place or in our hearts, commanding all evil spirits to go to the presence of Christ, and asking that the Holy Spirit only be working, and that you would use your word to accomplish that which you please. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ and that was shed for our sins, and they were saved by repenting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not of works that we would do, but only by faith that you said so many times. And it's a gift, as you said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Tell us in Ephesians 2 that it's not by our works, but it's by grace that we're saved. So we thank you. Now we come to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I did a series, a short one this morning on the temptation of Christ. And I thought I might open up our study tonight. We're going to be in Galatians 1. But first of all, I'm going to just say a few things about a lawyer that came to Jesus tempting him to just maybe get us opened up to the fact that we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't tempt God and that we don't get tempted to get into something that we shouldn't, or get into a place or a position or some kind of something that will hurt us. The story of the lawyers in Luke chapter 10, and you know the story. It's the one where we get the story of the Good Samaritan. And this lawyer, as a lot of them did, they thought they were pretty smart. And so he comes to Jesus in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? He took him to the law. How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And when he gets done with him, this lawyer's going to see that he can't do that unless he has a change in his heart. That's why Jesus said, to be saved, you must be born again. And born again is what produces a new life. So then he was doing okay. And then he wanted to ask Christ a lesson, Jesus said in 28, "And thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said," and then he gave him the story of the Good Samaritan. "There was a certain man which went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him," and we know that he took care of him. And then, down in 37, after Jesus finished the story, and he said, "And he that showed mercy," Jesus asked a question, "Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Now there could be some problems in that. So what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look at another flip side of Job, only not go to Job, but we're going to talk about his friends and how they came there to help him. Now, just to go back on this story and make a few comments on it, if I can, quickly. Can God be tempted? This lawyer, a certain lawyer, stood up and tempted him. He came to tempt him. And so whenever you mess with God, you're going to get messed up yourself. And there's a lot of things in the Bible on tempting God, and a lot of things. I'm not going to go into those for time's sake, because I want to get to Galatians 6:1. But even the fiery serpent deal was because they tempted God. And Paul said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. And so this lawyer is tempting Christ. You might want to ask a question, why did he ask? Well, it was a test. Was he sincere? I don't know about that. Since he's trying to tempt Christ, they were after him. Really, he probably wasn't. But he got himself into bind because Jesus, when he told him that do, and he gave him that story, the lawyer probably had the lights come on, that could be a problem in his life. And the doing comes out of being born again. As Theodore Epps used to say, the doing comes out of the being. Now look, Christ took him to the law first. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That was the whole law in a nutshell. And the thing about keeping the law, it was impossible. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so those that try to keep the law, they always fail at some point, or usually all of them. But the bottom line is, without love, we don't do. Without love, we don't do. And only if we're born again and have the Spirit of God will we have the capacity to love and do. As Brandon shared a wonderful message the other night on dirt. You know, messing with people. You know, it'd be great if we could have church and this, we wouldn't have any problems. We just wouldn't have people. Where we got people, we got issues, we got problems. Everybody. And so the bottom line is, without love, we don't do. And doing comes out of a new heart and relationship with Christ. If you try to do to get saved, you're going to go to hell, because Christ has already done the doing on the cross by dying on the cross for our sins. And so he answered right. But then 28, Christ turned the test around on him and dug into his heart. Now, how did he do that? Well, he's willing to justify himself in 29. He's doing this, but actually he got himself in a jam, because maybe he was on the road and saw a man like that, but the two that passed by were Jews. Now, to a Jew, a Samaritan was not his neighbor. And even if this guy's got his clothes all stolen and everything, maybe they didn't know, and they weren't going to take a chance, but a lot of Jews lived in Jericho, and they come up to Jerusalem, and so they go back and forth, and even if it was one of their own, and they're going to the temple, they're not going to get their hands dirty or whatever. But the doing for this lawyer, I'm sure that because he was trying to tempt Christ, it really got to him. Because there was a Jew and there was a Gentile. Maybe that was a Jew there. We don't know, or a Gentile. Anyway, are you prejudiced? We pick and choose who we're going to help out. Sometimes we maybe do that. But the first one in 31 saw him. The next one looked on him. And so Jesus has given us a picture of life, a certain Samaritan. And Jesus was, he's the one that would take the wounded and heal and pour in the oil and fix them and everything up. But the law doesn't save. These guys, these religion doesn't care, and tradition doesn't feel. But when we're born again, we will care and we will feel, and Jesus will be able to use us. Now, go to Galatians 6:1 and let's do some theology on this thing of helping people. That's what he's talking about, helping people. Now, supposedly, in Galatians 6:1, we're going to get to the nuts and bolts of Job's friends. Look at the theology of these guys. They came, everyone, to mourn with him and to comfort him. Job 2:11. And Galatians 6:1, and this goes all the way down to 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, and Job's friends thought he was taken over in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So what I want to do is just go down through here, and let's think of Job's friends. They've come along to mourn with him. They sat for a whole week and did a really good job. They kept their mouths shut. Did they come to restore him, though, is the question. They're evaluating. They look at him sitting on an ash heap. He's got pus and sores, and he's lost his kids, lost all his crops, and all he's got is a wife. And she hadn't helped out. But did they really intend on helping him? I don't think so. So we're going to look at this on how to help a guy that maybe is like Job or worse than Job. Again, they assumed that he had sin in his life. That's the way it worked. If you had bad things happen, you have sin. So, and in the process, they drew Job down. And Job, they came to comfort him. In 16:2, he said, "Miserable comforters are you all." And he had some other things. I'll just go back to one nice one. In 21:34, Job said this, "How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood?" Job discerned that they're coming there to help him. They were really hypocrites. They were just like the Levi and the priest passing by. They're not going to really help the guy that's down because they're busy going to church to try to impress God with how spiritual they are. And Jesus says, you're not really that spiritual if you don't get your hands dirty. You don't reach out. And so they're not going to get their hands dirty on Job. They're just going to poke at him. So how do you help somebody that's in trouble? It's a very hard thing to do sometimes, and sometimes very tricky, sometimes very dangerous or whatever, because things like sometimes people just don't want to be helped, or they, and we're going to talk about these things. But this principle here, the key principle to remember, is we always go in low. We always go in low. Had a pastor friend of mine, when he came and knocked on your door, everybody was scared. He didn't really come in low. He come in to get you. And it was really sort of funny, but if you heard a knock on the door, they would say, "Oh, no." He didn't come in low. And he eventually buried himself, and he's walking with God now, but he had some things to learn that you got to come in low. Now, there's two parts to this chapter. One is the responsibility that we have to others, 1 through 10, and then the other is 11, is Judaizers coming in, trying to get everybody straightened out with the law, supposing to be Christians but using the law, and it didn't work. It just bring them back into bondage. So how do we respond if we think something's wrong in a brother or sister's life? Now, we're going to go through the theology of this passage. I'm going to give you the meaning of the words and give you something out of each meaning as we go through here. So it's how do we respond to somebody? And we're using Job as an example. They came to try to help him out. If we think something's wrong with somebody, we better just move beyond assuming and do some research. These guys did no research. All they looked at was circumstantial evidence. All the things, you lost your crops, lost your kids and everything, you must be in sin. So they didn't come in low, they come in proud, so they wasn't even going to be close to helping Job out. Except, they helped Job see that he wasn't meek. So in the long run, they did really help him out. But when it was all over, God was really mad at these three guys. His wrath was there. And if you don't receive Christ, you have the wrath of God abiding on you. And we don't want the wrath of God abiding on us. Now, if I go back over to 5:13 through 16, we're going to look at this. If we go to help somebody, we got to see this is going to be a service to somebody else. Jesus came and he served us. And so it's a service. 5:13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." So this is, if you're fixed, you really know Jesus, you'll have a heart of love, and we serve by love. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said, you love God and you love your neighbor. And then he said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So it seems that Job was a neighbor for his friends, wherever they lived. They could have lived a long ways away, but these men were supposedly really wise and knew a lot about God. And so let's go into this. The opposite of spiritual, he that is spiritual, verse 1, if a man be overtaken to fight you which are spiritual, is what? Carnal, fleshly. Job's friends are not coming in. It doesn't seem like in the, well, they were maybe in the spirit good for 7 days while they kept their mouth shut. But then they open it up and just flesh come out, carnal wisdom. And it's the opposite. The flesh is the opposite. They had envy, I think, against Job. They created strife. They brought a division against their brother. And probably when they wasn't there working, trying to help Job out, they were back at the camp backbiting and gossiping, slandering, and figuring out more stuff. You know? So all the grumbling and the grudging and whatever they went on was not going to help Job at all. So how do we help somebody? And let me start off with this. Let me go back up to the first thing. Okay, number one, in the spirit of meekness. Let's talk about that. And if you're meek, you're going to love, you're going to care, and you're going to be, sometimes you're going to dare to go in and help out. I don't think it's necessarily the pastor's job to fix everybody in the church. That's why we have giftings in the body. And sometimes we want to dump it on him and you go fix it. This guy's got a problem. No, really, many times you need to do it. And if you've been offended or whatever, we know we got in Matthew 18 there about being offended and stuff. But we can create problems if we're not careful in this. I had a verse here, Galatians 2:11. I think I was supposed to share it with you because I wrote it down. And it says this, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." There's the principle. And think about it. Paul is a new kid on the block. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years. He would have been sort of a senior. But Peter had an issue. Everybody here, we could have an issue that we don't see. And Peter had one because he was prejudiced. And he pulled back and separated from the brethren when Jews came to say, I'm still a Jew and whatever. But Paul saw the hypocrisy is creating division. And he confronted him right to his face, but it was public. Going to have to be a long ways before we do it. We go privately first and deal with that. And then if we can't get anywhere, we get a brother or sister to help us out on it. And so in the spirit of meekness, this is what we do. Galatians 6:1. Let me go back. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore." If you're going to be spiritual, you're going to restore, if possible, such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering yourself, and we'll come to that in a minute. What is the spirit of meekness? It actually comes out of Galatians 5:22, where the fruit of the spirit is love, and out of that comes 8 fruits, and gentleness is one of those. Gentleness does a whole lot better job than harshness. Years ago, when I was with this pastor that was harsh, there's another pastor, actually with 5 of us that moved in to work together. But one of them drove 400 miles and found me in the alley. I was painting on a garage or something. And the spirit had told him that I was sort of had backsliding or something a little bit. And he sat down and gently opened my eyes up, and I saw it. Oh, wow. But he came in low. He sat down on the grass on the side, and we went through that. And that was the way we were supposed to work with one another, and we did that. This is the way it's supposed to do. If you see something, you deal with it. If you don't. So Colossians 3:12, if we think about Job's friends in Colossians 3:12, listen to this. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Go right back to the front. These guys did not come in with mercy to begin with. Now we're going to go through this, and we're going to hit some spots that may hurt. And that's what we call revival. When it hurts, you deal with it. Maybe between a brother or sister, between you and God. If it hurts and you don't deal with it, it just drives it down deeper. But God reveals it and it hurts, and then we cry and go get things right. And so think about this. We're family. Some of you have children. Some of us had children. Now we got grandchildren, but whatever. In the family, if somebody does something wrong or whatever, what happens? Everybody lets them know, right? You burn the toast, you get, you know, if you do something. That's a family. Why do we not do that in the church body? We'll do it at home. I mean, we all do it. You slip up, everybody's going to let you know. And that's what parents are, to let the kids know, hey, no, we don't do this. This is the way we're supposed to do it. You continually do it until he gets it or she gets it, whatever. That's love. But if you don't care, just let them go. But we care. We're supposed to. But if we don't function as a body spiritually like we might do at home, and of course, if you're going to say you burnt the toast, we should come in low. You know, I think the toast is a little bit overdone. Isn't it, Susie? Oh, yes, Mommy. How many times did you put it in? Five. Oh, maybe we ought to try just once and see how it works. But if you come in there, Susie, you burnt the toast. What do? We crush. We put down. But we should come in and lift up. Immaturity needs the gentleness. Harshness doesn't get it. We come in low. That's the principle. And so we're to look at the word fault. 6:1, fault. That means you've missed the mark. And may the brother or sister, it's unintentional. It's unknown. They don't even know it. Or maybe it is intentional. But something's not right. Something needs attention. And so we deal with it. If we don't, it's like having a splinter or something. It just gets worse and worse and worse. But when we don't deal with it in our body or in our family or in a spiritual body, we can have some problems. And then look at the word overtaken. Look at the word overtaken. Ye which are spiritual. Let me get back to Galatians. I went over to Colossians. If you've been overtaken, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, the fault, you've missed the mark intentionally or not, but anyway, something's not right, and then you're overtaken. This is a really interesting one. It's difficult to dig it out of the Greek and everything. It's just hard because it would be illustrated something like this. 1 Corinthians 11:21, they were having their agape feast. They were having communion. They were having their agape feast. But some were eating filet mignon, and another brother would be over here just sucking on a saltine cracker. Some were really, they could really eat good, and some just couldn't have it. And the apostle said, this is not right. This is not love. We're supposed to have a love feast. Share. And so the guy has shared his saltine cracker and expect the guy to split his filet mignon in two and give him half. You know? But that was the principle that was talking. It meant something had got out of hand. That's what it means, overtaken. And an interesting thing, this was used with Mary when she came and she anointed Jesus, and the disciples jumped on her. And Jesus said she had done what she could. She has come aforehand. That was the same word, overtaken. She's come aforehand. She's come ahead to prepare my body for burial. And so they were judging her wrong. And so something was not right, they thought. But she was doing forethought about him going and dying, if she did see that. So the disciples thought it was a fault, but she was just overtaken with grief and love for Jesus to go and do something. Now, ye which are spiritual is an interesting thing, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Let's dig into this one a little bit. Job's friends. Hey, Job, we're here to help you out. You know, after 7 days of silence. All right, Job, we are the fixers. Sometimes fixers are just plain dangerous. If they are not working in the Spirit of God, spiritual pride will make somebody think that they are a fixer, and they really fix things all right. And so they are there thinking that they are fixers. Ye which are spiritual, here is a spiritual person. They would be filled and governed by the Holy Spirit. This is why it'll be like Christ ministering to them himself. If they are filled and governed by the Holy Spirit, they will feel, they will mourn, they will care, they won't condemn, they won't come in complaining, but they will know by the Holy Spirit what should be done. And they'll know they should come in low. That's the way Jesus did. And so that was ye which are spiritual. And again, the opposite of that is the carnal. Now, the third thing is, why should it be done in meekness? I ask this question because he said, verse 1, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So you think you're some hot shot to fix it up. You better really be careful, because there's two parts. Considering thyself, Job's friends, I don't think they ever even had a clue how bad they were. These guys were nasty, condemning and criticizing Job. I think if they would have come in low, they could have maybe had some better counsel for him, and they could have worked to help him out. And they could have, you know, Job, is there anything, can you think of anything you ever done? He said, no, I can't think of a thing I ever done. Okay, well, let's think. Well, maybe there's something inside of you, Job, that God would like to work on. He could think about that too, but that wouldn't have worked, because they had to do the bad stuff to really have Job see that he wasn't meek. He was pretty proud when it came down, because he was the godliest man in the world. There wasn't no condemnation about that, but he didn't know that inside he was really, to the core of his being, not meek. And so they're considering yourself, and when you come to help somebody, the brother may be innocent or they may be guilty. Think about Jesus when he came to the, he found these guys fixing to stone this woman in John chapter 8. They found her. She's in trouble. She's done something bad against the law. The law said stone. And they bring her to Jesus, and they're trying to trap Jesus, actually. But here's the thing about it. They had no intention at all of restoring her. That's the law. Kill. Stone. But Jesus doesn't work by law. He works by love. And in working by love, he fulfills the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Do we care enough to fulfill the law by love? So they criticized, they condemned, they wanted to stone her. And actually, sometimes, I think in this case, and maybe a lot of cases with us, when we are critical of some brother or whatever, our attitude is worse than their problem. And I think it was that case with this woman. She needed grace. She needed picked up. And they just wanted stone. And that is a sign of a hypocrite, the critical attitude to come in. And it can be so subtle, so dangerous. And then lest that thou also be tempted and to be at fault yourself. How? We could actually listen to slander. Somebody could come along and say something. We pick it up and we pass it on. And yet we don't go to the brother we heard something about or the sister we heard something about. And without realizing it, we are not a part of the solution. We're part of the problem, because we picked up something and we didn't go check it out. Job's friends did not really, I think, check it out. They assumed because of circumstances. Amazing, interesting stuff, isn't it? Sometimes it could come around, we go, ouch. That's when we need revival, to let God break our heart on our own attitude. You know, when David was being, this just popped in my mind, but when he was driven out of Jerusalem by his own son Absalom, and he's weeping. He's going through the Kidron Valley. There's one guy there. He must have been a relative of Job, because what's he doing? Throwing stones and dust at David. And my pastor in Omaha, when I was in Bible college, and Vicki, we went to church there together, and I thought that was a good deal. He said this about David getting these stones. No Shimei can hurt you, but your attitude towards him can kill you. Shimei couldn't hurt him. Just to get him dirty, bruise him with some stones. And David didn't take care of him. But later on, before he died, he had Solomon deal justice to him, because of he was the king, and he was in a position, and he was treated bad. So we need to be careful and research. And let me move on to the next one. Verse 2. Let's look at this a little bit. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? That when you bear a brother or sister's burden, you're fulfilling the law of Christ. Burdens means a weight. Something that they've got that's weighing them down. And it may be something they're not even aware of. But because they've got it, you see it, or it affects others, it affects you, or it affects the church or whatever, but it is a burden, it is a weight, and it's something that they need to be helped with. And so what this means is to put your shoulder under the burden and help out. Help out. What's the burden? Well, it's the fault. That's where we're going. I read a story one time about George Washington. He come along. There was an officer there standing watching the soldiers try to move this log, probably across the road or something, and they just couldn't quite get it. And George Washington jumped off his horse, went over there and put his shoulder to it, and they got it. But before he left, he turned to the officer and said, "Young man, the next time you have a log you need moved, you call your general to come help you." He's given him a rebuke and hoping to restore this officer to the point of where he's not so high and mighty that he can't put his shoulder to a log with his men and help him. Sometimes we need to put our shoulder under the burden and help out. And sometimes it can be nasty, it can be hard. We can get, we got to do it though. You got to take care of something. If you got an ailment or whatever, if you don't, it can just get worse. And so we need to be careful. If we're not a part of the problem, then we need to be a part of the solution in there. And I got a principle. Let's just move on through here, though. In a practical aspect, before we do anything, we should pray. We should pray a lot. And then we should do what the Holy Spirit moves in getting the thing done. Just assume something really needs to be done, because it is affecting the body of Christ. It's affecting the family or whatever, affecting a relationship in a marriage, and it's got to be done. So pray first, so you get the wisdom of God. And that verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This bear doesn't have hair. No battery.
Just shut off for some reason.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I apologize. All right. To bear, to put upon oneself. And the purpose of bearing, getting our hands dirty or whatever, is to restore, to get it right. We got to do it. And sometimes it can be really pretty shocking when you've got something that you're doing, or you are, or whatever, and somebody comes and says, you know, it's not good. And then you explain why. And they go, oh, I never did think about that. I never saw that. Thank you. Now, if they're proud, rah, you know, don't tell me my faults. You've got 100 more faults than I do. But if we come, you know, if we're going to go get a splinter out of our brother's eye, we better make sure we don't have a log sticking through us. So we come in low. That always comes up every time. Number 5 on this, verse 2, so fulfill the law of Christ. And what is that? It's the law of love. My friend, Jeff, he said, if you love me, you will tell me I've got something wrong. I think that is a major problem in our churches, that we really don't have the type of love that we should. And so we endure and we lose the power of God. We lose the testimony of the Holy Spirit working because we are just have a form of godliness, a form of love, but we deny the power thereof. But if we'll get right with God, you get right yourself. Don't try to get your neighbor right. You get right with yourself, we can have a revival inside, and we can have a revival in a body of believers. Not everybody likes to hear the truth. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth has set you free. But first of all, it might hurt. Just really get so. So fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. By this, what did he say? John 13:34. Shall all men know that you are my disciples. How we love. How we love. We're real. And 1 Corinthians 13:7, beareth all things. That word there is a different Greek word, beareth all things. It means to cover, to protect, to cover over. We're going to cover our brother, our sister with love. They've got something there. Or our mate has something there. And because we, you know, and my wife's got a certain tone, Don, I know. Oh, Lord, I need a phone call. We need the doorbell to ring quick. I'm in trouble. I can tell that tone. You know what I'm talking about? I can read. I'm ready to run. But she loves me enough to not let me go on and look stupid. You know? You got your shirt on backwards. Oh. Do you love each other? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Amazing passage. Again, pray before you do it. There's a time to weep, Ecclesiastes 3:7, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak. If it's time to speak, you better speak. The law of love, that was the law of Christ. It's compassionate. We got forgiveness. We got gentleness and all of that. You know? The Lord sure puts up with a lot of stuff with me. I got a feeling you're not perfect either. He bears with us, doesn't he? If he bears with us, we should bear with one another. To the point that we will not be like Job's friends, come along, just criticize, complain, and whatever. And God might have allowed, maybe the brother or sister may have something that many times they're not even aware of it. But God has let it be there to show us our own attitude. Job's friends really have rotten attitudes. Number 6, and 7, I'll be done. Warning against pride. Look at verse 3. Just slipping through there. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Job's friends were flat deceived. They thought they were righteous. They thought they were the perfect fixers. For the most godly man in the world had the testimony of God himself. Satan couldn't even get to him. God had to let the devil get in there. And we don't know who sent his friends. We mentioned that last Sunday. Wouldn't be surprised if what the devil sent them along to help out in the problem. But the warning against pride. 12:3 of Romans, you're not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You look at 14:4, because Job is God's servant, and the one you're going to go try to help out is God's servant, so you be careful with him. And it could be that the fault that you have is worse than theirs. That's the scary thing about this. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that means to come under condemnation, to come down, to come down. Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. And if you see something wrong, you have an obligation, is a duty. You see it in me, even though it may be really scary, and I may just growl back. But if you love me, you'll tell me. If you love your brother, you tell him. And sometimes you may just need to stop everything and try to get something fixed. Pride just thinks of me. Pride says, I'm not going to go get my hands dirty. Pride is an awful thing. But pride cares, and pride is destroyed by the caring, loving attitude of Christ. So, last one. The warning not to mock God. Look at verse 7. We'll slip on back down. We'll read on down through there. 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good. And again, the apostles come along. The Galatians had lots of problems with the legalizers trying to bring in law and messing things up, messing up the grace of God and the beauty and the love of the church. And then he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who have the household of faith. A lot of stuff there. Paul's dealing with a lot of things there, but I'll just focus in on this one thing. Again, it's so easy to see the splinter in the eye. And so Peter says in 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And so God got Job fixed up to be humble and meek finally. And in the meantime, his friends are wound up worse than they ever were. And Job was commanded by God to fix his friends by first praying for them. And many times we just really won't pray. We'd rather complain or tell somebody else what we see. Soweth. Job's friends were growing a real crop of weeds. When they were done with their, they just, you know, what are you planting? What's going to be in our garden? Are we going to have in our garden crops and plants that are grown by our weeping and our repenting and our mourning for our brother? Let's pray. Our Father, I know this is one reason that we have not the power of Christ so many times in our churches or in our families or in our own life. Because we're not willing to go down low. And as Brandon shared a message the other day, to get our hands dirty. And we have problems with blowing out tires, and you're trying to teach us something again. Everything in our life, you're trying to teach us a lesson. You're trying to teach us to draw all our strength from you. As they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So help us now, just in the closing moment here. Lord, is there something in my life you don't like? That I have an attitude like one of Job's friends? Have I had a humble heart towards a brother or sister with an area that they need to get fixed? Show me. Maybe I have a worse area than them. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Bring revival and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.